Well, hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. We are in a really strange time. And to help me talk about this time and how we're helping couples is my friend and colleague, Dr. Lori Buckley. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Dr. Diana.
Hi. So we're both doing teletherapy, meaning I'm using a Zoom. Are you using Zoom or what are you using?
Yeah, Zoom, sometimes FaceTime, but I like Zoom. Zoom seems to work nicely.
Yeah. So this is such an unusual time. You were last on the program in January, and we didn't talk at all about that because it wasn't in our radar at the time.
Not even in our imagination, right?
Not even in our imagination. Yes. So what seems to be the number one concern for the couples you see?
Oh, there's so many. You know, I mean,
like
you're saying, our world just changed and really turned upside down, like seemingly overnight. You know, everything is one way, and then the next day, everything is different. And that's true for, you know, everyone. So there's, you know, there's loss, there's fear, there's dealing with things that we never had to deal with before, simple things sometimes, like grocery shopping and toilet paper. And, you know, looking at somebody 24/7, you know, with our kids at home, which can be a challenge. So sometimes it's childcare or dealing with those stressors. Sometimes it's, you know, certainly some financial concerns, fear of getting sick or their loved ones getting sick. Just so much uncertainty and unknown that it is something that has to affect and impact every single one of us in so many different ways.
So many different ways. And it seems like our brains want to make sense of it all. But since there seems to be, at least at this point, no end to this virus or the social distancing or staying home, so everything is a giant question mark. And our nervous systems are really activated. But we have the power to calm down and step away from the fear. So we're going to talk to our listeners today about some of that. And it's important. It's important because enjoyable sexual activity, we're going to get to that, between partners can have a distinct beneficial effect on the mental and physical health of a couple. It's sometimes hard to get the couple to do that, though, to be sexual. So I was hoping that you and I could talk about two things, planning your date night at home and getting over the need for the idea of spontaneous sex, and then more touch. We need more touch outside of the bedroom that will translate into the bedroom, hopefully.
I think it's finding ways to really get through this. And it is true that we don't know when there is an end. So there's a lot of unknowns and uncertainty, which is, you know, like you said, it's something that we don't do well with. We want to know what's happening. But we do know this. There is going to be an end. We just don't know when it is. So that's important. So how do we navigate this time? I mean, just individually, we may not have a partner. So sometimes it's being alone or feeling lonely, and that can be equally challenging. You know, some people who are alone are wishing they had a partner, and there are some people who are in partnerships who wish they were alone because it's not easy, you know, sometimes to be in that same space. And, you know, they don't even want to talk to each other, let alone touch each other. But it is finding ways to comfort ourselves, to connect, and doing it even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes it's forcing yourself to do things that you don't feel like doing because it is the best thing to do. And it's the same thing with, you know, we can get into this place of feeling stuck and we don't have control over so many things that are going on around us. So wanting to kind of just curl up in a ball and stay in that stuck place. But when we can create some certainty in the things that we can, which is about our relationships or when we're going to have sex or creating those date nights or having structure in our daily lives, even
yes.
though we may not feel like it, are so important right now, especially now.
Especially now. When you talked about forcing yourself to do things, it reminded me of something that we both know as sex therapists, that so many times arousal precedes desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so if couples can slow down and enjoy touching each other with lots of outer course kinds of things, then sometimes the arousal, and it's often the woman who needs a bit more arousal to be fully engaged. So then sometimes she'll be there, and I've, back in the days, wasn't that long ago that I was seeing couples in person, I give an assignment of getting together and letting the arousal just go and doing more outer course. And lo and behold, the woman has an orgasm. And she said, I didn't feel like doing it.
Right.
But Dr. Diana, you suggested we do it. So I thought, well, maybe we should. And I had an orgasm. And I felt so much better. Yes.
Yes. And when you took away that expectation, like, oh, you're going to have sex. Instead of that, it's like, just be there. Just enjoy one another. Focus on pleasure. And then take away that expectation or that pressure. Now there's space and room to become aroused, and then you feel like having sex, and then you have an orgasm. So it's just changing the way we think about things. But again, if we wait until we feel like it, we're going to be waiting a long time. So we don't want to do anything or tell our listeners to do anything that they don't want to do. But you may not feel like getting together or planning a sex night for whatever reason. I think outer course, we could also say, might even include just feeling connected before you even touch each other's bodies. But,
absolutely.
When you create that space for that stimulus to happen, you know that there's a good chance that you're going to become aroused, you're going to feel like having sex, and it'll be something that you both feel really good about. And it's enjoyable. So it's doing something.
I talk about, and probably you do too, emotional foreplay. And that can help get the, if the couple's been kind of ignoring each other or just doing their own thing as they quarantine together, it may be hard to put some of that aside, some of the annoyance, some of the anger. I mean, you are a couple kind of stuck together.
Right, and then you have kids who are home that maybe usually aren't home so much, and they're feeling somewhat antsy and anxious because they know something's going down. I don't care how old they are. Life is not normal. It's not what it used to be. So you've got a lot of feelings and tensions and lots of things happening in the house. So people are going to be not necessarily their best selves, and to create that space. I like that emotional foreplay. How do you connect? How do you be there for one another? And this is the time when couples are, and you're probably seeing it already. It's only really been a couple of weeks, but already I'm seeing couples who are closer than they've ever been. And I'm seeing couples who are really struggling, and they may, end their relationships. And it's not because, all of a sudden things are good or all of a sudden things are bad. They're just looking at things and are put in a situation where there it is. And it's, how are people showing up? And what are they willing to do during these times? And challenges do bring people closer together or further apart.
Absolutely. So it helps if the couple can develop a plan, I think, and put the date night at home on the calendar. Then if you have a plan, say the woman, and this is more often the case than not, the woman is the one with the lower desire. And then she often reports that if they have a plan, they put a date night on the calendar, she then has some anticipation. She doesn't have to keep her husband, and this is just, I'm generalizing a little bit, but this is the way it often goes, to keep her husband away from her, which means that she might have to have sex. And so then what happens, it's very sad, is that they stop touching each other affectionately because she doesn't want it misconstrued as an invitation to go and have physical intimacy, perhaps including intercourse. And so that's why I think it's important to develop a plan and maybe even spend some time doing sweet nothings, which is in my office. I'll have, and the couples can do this at home too. They sit facing each other on the couch, knees together, holding hands, looking into each other's eyes, and they take turns, about a minute or two each. What I love and appreciate about you. Mm-hmm. And then they say specifically what they love and appreciate. And then before it's, say, the man starts, and then before it's her turn, that's another exercise. Never mind. I'm confusing the exercises.
But that's a good one, too, right?
But this is a good one. This is a good one because, then it's her turn to say sweet nothings, what she loves and appreciates about him. Over the years, I've had at least two men break down in tears when they heard all these sweet nothings from their female partner. They hadn't heard compliments like this before or appreciations. You know, so often we take each other for granted, which is a terrible thing to do because it erodes so much at the relationship. Don't you find couples do take each other for granted?
Yes, and not only do they take each other for granted, and now's the time where we can realize all the things we've been taking for granted, but yes, we take our partners for granted, and more often than not, women, sometimes it's men, are really good at pointing out what their partner is doing wrong as opposed to pointing out what they're doing right. You know, like they wash
That's
the dishes,
right.
They put the dishes in the dishwasher, and we tell our partners how they loaded the dishwasher wrong, as opposed to just saying, oh, thanks, baby, for loading the dishwasher, you know? And if we're living in that state of negativity, it affects everybody. And I think those men who broke down in tears, that's probably what they've been living with, you know, feeling like nothing they do is right. Right? So, so important. And I love the sweet nothings, although I think it would be better to call it sweet somethings.
I call it sweet nothings because it doesn't cost anything to do it. But sweet somethings is probably a better title. I agree with you, Lori.
I like it, yeah. But I think it's such a great, great concept. And, you know, this idea of planning, I mean, let's just talk about this for a second in, you know, the midst of the coronavirus. Again, these are things that planning our day, having structure, we're doing it for our kids, but doing it for ourselves and doing it for our relationship, that's something that we can do, and we need, in all of this uncertainty and unknowns, we need to have things that we can count on. And, you know, also to go back on what you said, when we don't have scheduled sex, and like you said, maybe the lower desire partner, oftentimes the woman is thinking, oh, I probably should. I think he wants to. We have all that noise going on. We don't know what to expect, and it really does color our world in a not-so-bright way. And the man is kind of saying, when are we going to have sex? And he's thinking, oh, if he touches her, she's going to reject him. And there's all this noise going on. So this knowing when it's going to happen and really approaching it with an open mind and playful spirit can be something so terrific. And something you taught me, that there can be spontaneity in the planning. We can plan that date together, that sex date, but what we do during that time, there's room for spontaneity in that. So the planning, not just planning a date night or a sex date, whatever it might be, having structure right now in our daily lives is especially important.
I think it's especially important because there's so much anxiety about all of the uncertainty. So if we can count on an intimate time that is structured with love, well, first of all, with anticipation and love, the structure will help us deal with the anxiety. Reel it in. We've got to turn off the news and step away from the computer and open a window and take some deep breaths.
Yes,
and we simply have to do that and make our, if we're lucky enough to have a partner, and you've already mentioned some people don't have partners, but if you're lucky enough to have a partner, this is an opportunity for you to deepen your relationship, to reconnect, and to not be so distant with each other.
Yes, and like we were saying before, it can go the other way. So you have to be intentional about the way you talk to your partner, the things you do with your partner, and not taking a partner and somebody who loves you, who's there to support you and be there with you for granted. And, you know, just for a moment to speak to the people who aren't in a partnership, who are alone, and that's my case right now, it's also an opportunity for us. And, you know, there's a difference between solitude and loneliness. And solitude can be a wonderful thing. And if you're someone who is alone and feels lonely, certainly to understand and appreciate that that's okay, of course, you know, not to feel bad about any of the feelings that you're having during these times, because they are challenging and difficult. But at the same time, to really learn how to be in solitude and enjoy your own company and do things that feel good for you, whether it's exercising, having that structure we talked about, meditation, contacting friends through Zoom or FaceTime. I had a dinner with a girlfriend the other night on Zoom. It was really fun. So, you know, making sure that you are doing those things to reach out, but also enjoying the solitude. And a little self-pleasuring couldn't hurt either, right?
And absolutely. Also, I mean, and
yeah.
Apparently sex toys are... The sale of sex toys has gone up, and I'm really glad to hear that, because, boy,
it
in the last few years, the technology of sex toys has really improved. I mean, they're quiet. They go at 7 or 8 speeds. They're different shapes that really, whether they go internally for the G-spot or whether they go on the clit, the clitoris, or and sometimes they can do both.
it's incredible. Yeah. And they're fun. And that's something you can do alone or with a partner, do a little shopping and do a little, you know, we'll just say exploration and discovery and find some other things. And, you know, this is temporary, right? So this is temporary. And I think those are important words to keep telling yourself. We are going to get through this. There is an end to this. We're in the middle of it right now. So we have some time. But what are you going to do when this is over? You know, make sure that there are some things that you're gaining from this. I always say, you know, things don't always necessarily happen for a reason, but we can give meaning to things that happen. And this is an opportunity to reflect, to recalibrate, to really just recommit even to certain things in your life, and your relationship is one of those. And if you are single and alone and you want to be in a relationship, this is a good time to do it. No, we're not going to go out on dates. We're not going to be having sex with people strange that we don't know right now. But it doesn't mean that you can't be doing some online dating and, you know, having some conversations and starting to get to know some people. So there are some things you can do in that area too. Yeah.
That's really right. And so then you're creating a foundation that could be, lead to a deeper relationship when you do get to meet.
Yes.
That you're starting to become friends as you're more vulnerable with each other online and more open. And for introverted men, and, well, they tend to be like software engineers, and we have a lot of them in Seattle. They need some quiet time, and they like to be, this is sanctioned now, and they're often relieved about it. That some quiet time and some space. And extroverts don't need it as much typically, but still we all need, and especially if we have a house full of people, kids and all that.
But you can appreciate that too. And just, you know, it's really nice to be able to. Well, it's not always easy, for sure, but also to be able to go into a place of appreciation that you have, you know, these kids and your spouse, and, you know, you're all in the household together. Again, while that can be challenging, it's also an opportunity that you're not going to have very often, where you're all home for such extended periods of time, and that planning comes in handy there too, right? Make it fun. Do some cooking together. Play some games together. Do things that you normally wouldn't do. Don't just stick everyone in front of a screen, which is fun too sometimes and important to say, well, you know, let's just do nothing and watch a movie. But you also have that time to connect in ways that you probably haven't before.
Probably haven't. Or if you did it, it might have been in the very early stages of your relationship when you were getting to know each other.
Right.
I think that spending some time playing board games is really a good thing. And there's some sexy games. The one that I've loved for many, many, many years now is Enchanting Evening. But there are some other games, and I have to research them, but some I've had some couples say that some that are a little more sexy, sexual in terms of getting them to do things. Enchanting Evening does that, but the advantage of playing some board games, there's another advantage, and that is that it slows you down. You can look at each other, and the two words I've used the most over the 30 plus years I've been doing this work is slow down. And when you're trying to create some intimacy with your partner at home at this time, you've got to really slow down.
And we're kind of forced to at this time, right? To be able to just to sit down and be together is something that, again, was too easy to not do. And now we are in a situation where we're forced to slow down in so many ways. We can't be running around and doing this and doing that. And, you know, it's just, we're here we are. And we're stuck in this place that we have created. And so, you know, some of those things are going to come to light that you can go, oh, man, I'm aware. Again, this is what I mean about the reflecting. I'm aware of some of the things that I have not been doing or things that have not been working for me that have put me in this situation where I am uncomfortable with my family or I'm not financially secure or I'm feeling so disconnected from my spouse or my kids. And it is time to recommit to doing things differently so you can have the kind of relationship, the kind of life, the kind of family that you want to have. So it really is a time of challenge, which also is a time of opportunities. And I want everybody to look at that. And what you're talking about as far as creating that time, those sex dates and touching and connecting, you know, emotionally, but also physically and sexually is so important. It really is. So I love that you're talking about those things. And you have some great posts on Facebook, which I appreciate you doing. People need to get these messages.
Thank you. Thank you, Lori. And I, just before we go on, because I wanted to be able to go on to specifically to touch, but we were talking about emotional foreplay and games. I think you said cooking a meal together can be fun. And then if you don't have children around, setting the dinner table with candlelight and fine china can be good to make it more of an event. And maybe you choose a romantic or a sexy movie to watch together. Here's the best idea of all, though. Give each other a massage or a back rub. We know for a fact, lots of research confirms this, that if we are relaxed, we've just had a wonderful massage from our partner, and I think it should be reciprocal, then we're going to have better sex. It just happens.
Yep.
We're going to have better sex.
Yep, absolutely. And it's nice because it's healing and it's connecting and it's relaxing. And, you know, it's all wonderful. I mean, one of the things that I have been prescribing to my clients for a long time is vulva massage. And on my website.
Oh, yes, and you have a product. Let's talk about that.
I do. It's very exciting. So I created a product to just really enhance the vulva massage. But the vulva massage, if you go to one of my websites called Sexy Stuff Store, you can go to Sexy Stuff Store, or you can just go to lovemyvulva.com. So you can spell it L-U-V or L-O-V-E, but lovemyvulva.com will also take you to a site where, one, just for free, you can download or see the vulva massage, how to do it. It's very specific, and it gives you all of the direction that you need to be able to give a successful vulva massage. And what's nice about a vulva massage is it's sexual, but it's also relaxing. There's no need to have sex. There's no pressure to have sex. It's just about being able to relax and experience pleasure. And oftentimes it will create, like we were saying, arousal and desire in a woman. So whether it does or not, it's good for you. And then I created this product called Love My Vulva. And
talk about that product. I think it's very exciting that people can see on Sexy Stuff Store or Love My Vulva, but sexystuffstore.com.
Just available, and something I've been working on for a long time, but I've been handing it out to clients for a while, and it's really quite lovely. It's all natural, so it's healthy for you. It's moisturizing, but what it does is it creates just an excitement, and it enhances your sexual experience. So I've heard from a lot of my clients that they're reaching orgasm quicker, and they're just getting aroused because it has some principles in it that are just a little warming, a little cooling, and a little stimulating. So it will increase your sexual pleasure, and it'll give you better orgasm. So it's really a fun product, and again, it's good for you. It's good for your vulva. And, you know, you can do it alone. You don't need to do it with a partner, or you can have your partner give you a nice vulva massage. So the vulva massage explanation is right there on the website. And if you want to buy the product, I have a special promotion code for you listeners, and the code is Dr. Diana. If you put in Dr. Diana, you'll get 10% off. That does expire at the end of April, so you have a whole month.
Dr. Diana, so that's Dr. Diana.
Right, just Dr. Diana, and you'll get 10% off till the end of April. And I would love to hear everybody's feedback and reviews, and I'm really excited about it. I created it because I saw the power with my clients of the vulva massage. And again, without any expectation, it's not about sex. It's really just about pleasure and being able to, a woman, for her to do it herself, or for the man to be able to give her the vulva massage and for her to be able to receive it. It's a beautiful thing. And like I said, all the directions are there. So I hope you will take advantage of that and definitely do the vulva massage.
Yes, Lori, thank you for making that 10% offer, 10% off offer. And it occurs to me that since we've got these lovely little vestibular bulbs underneath the labia that are attached to the clitoral system, that this massage would help fill up those vestibular bulbs and increase her arousal a lot.
Yes. It increases blood flow, right? And blood flow is everything. Yeah.
Blood flow is everything. Well, I love this, and I love that, and it's so creative of you to create this product. And I think you told me off the air that you've got a Canadian chemist to help you put the formula together.
Yes, a chemist who has created some other products that I really loved, and so I was able to get a hold of this chemist, and we've been, you know, working on it for a while, back and forth, trying to find the right thing, and I tested many, many different formulations until we found this one that is, you know, it's like magic, you know, it's fantastic. So I'll make sure to send you one too, Diana.
I was just going to say, you know, I can, in fact, I intend to go to the website, and I'll get Dr. Diana herself will get the 10% off. You don't have to send me something. I'll buy it.
Well, I am happy.
It's very nice of you. It's very nice of you.
But I appreciate that. And if you don't want to buy the product, that's okay. Still do the vulva massage. Like, just, you know, get some coconut oil or whatever. Do the vulva massage, because that by itself is really a wonderful, wonderful connecting and pleasurable experience for couples to have. It is a little extra, you know, benefit when you use the vulva cream, the Love My Vulva cream, but you can certainly have a wonderful experience without it, which is the way that I've been, you know, having my clients use it for years, just, you know, with a little coconut oil, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So let's move on to the topic of more touch. We've been talking about it in general, but we were mainly focused on planning your date night at home and all of the things you can do. But touch is so important. I was seen, and I'm still seen, but I used to see them in my office, as most of us did, and then now it's at home. So, but
right.
When they presented, we'll call them Bill and Susan, a couple in their early 50s, their children were launched, and they really wanted their empty nest to become their love nest. And Susan told me, I want to feel desire again. And Bill wanted more touch and physical connection with his wife. He's an introvert, and he said he just couldn't find the words. Talk intimacy eludes me, but the way he experiences his sexual desire is through touch, his physicality, and then the wife Susan is more in her head. Words feel safer than gestures and movements. Sometimes it's the other way around, but it doesn't depend too much on gender as it does on the history of each person.
We need to know what that is, things that turn us on and arouse us, and the things that arouse our partner and turn them on, and the things that also turn them off, right?
That's exactly right. We've got to hear all of that, and the communication between the couple will make for much better sex if they really listen to their partner. And some couples have never had this conversation before. Sometimes it helps for them to be with a sex therapist, because we can model, Laura, you and I can model ease with talking about sex and using the words. And a lot of couples just haven't had that practice before. Sometimes it helps a lot to, and I do this a lot, I'll suggest that they do sensate focus caressing touch exercises. Sensate focus can sound a little bit clinical, and that's because Masters and Johnson, who did did some seminal research in the late 50s and 60s. They really created the whole field of sex therapy, right?
Yeah.
And we're grateful to them, but they came up with sensate focus because they felt way too many couples were too genitally focused. And that's often true. So so the first couple of times you do this, giver, receiver, and then switching, intercourse is not even allowed. So this really helped in the case that I'm just describing. This really helped Susan be more in her body. And at least in the beginning, her husband was relieved not to have to search for the right words.
it's such a great example of a simple thing you can do. It's not always easy, but it is a simple thing you can do that can change everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Talking about things and doing something, an exercise that you would have never even thought about doing.
Exactly. And I also suggested that before they even do this exercise, and I think this can really help a lot of couples, that they just spend some time naked in bed together, but not for sex. And this actually touches a little bit the mindfulness idea, but I tell them each of you should really pay attention to your breath and your body. Just breathe together and feel comfortable in your body. And of course, women typically have a lot of more trouble than men do with being comfortable in their body because they've got all these body image issues that you and I touched on a bit when we talked the end of January of this year.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're finding this, but I am finding it seems lately that men are more concerned or insecure about their bodies than they used to be. And I don't know why that is, but it does seem to be the case. Are you experiencing that?
Not as much, but maybe I haven't asked the right questions.
Well, it's more of a woman's problem, but it is now also a man's problem. I don't think it's as much as it is, you know, for women. But it's sort of interesting. Yeah, it's a good thing. And so the Sensate Focus, it is a mindfulness practice, right? And
mm-hmm.
I call it a mindfulness exercise. But it is because it's about getting out of your head, just being in that place of the moment and pleasure and appreciation. It's not always easy to do. That's what I mean. It's a simple exercise, but not always so easy.
No, and they need to pay attention. And we process this after they've done it now remotely, but we process it. And it's really nice that when you're receiving the touch, you have an opportunity to take touch from the partner and not to have anything to do except lie there and be in the moment. And I think that is true for your vulva massage too.
Absolutely. Just yeah.
To take touch and don't feel like you have to do anything except be in the moment, experience the touch, experience the pleasure. If you find your mind wandering, and that sometimes is called the monkey mind, if from the Zen meditation idea.
Right.
So you quiet down the monkeys who are out there on the branch in your mind, just trying to distract
you. There. Yeah. Right.
And so quiet the monkeys down and come back to center. And this takes practice, particularly for women who have low desire, haven't really wanted to be sexual, are doing sex out of duty and obligation. And with these exercises, we're really trying to help couples get to more closeness and to really enjoy their physical intimacy together.
Yes. I mean, sex and relationships and connection, you know, while there are challenges, it's supposed to be pleasurable. It's supposed to be fun and good and all of those things. So when we are going on autopilot and doing things out of obligation, like you said, or duty, or, you know, it's like we should be doing it. It's never going to work. We find ourselves creating a pattern that is incredibly problematic. It impacts not just our sex life, but our personal well-being and our relationships. And there's so much opportunity that when we can be in the moment and connect emotionally and sexually, we thrive. We feel more powerful. We feel more alive, and our relationships feel much more connected. It's really an important thing. It's not just about sex and orgasms. We're talking about something that is, you know, a fundamental principle in, I'm going to say, happiness.
Yes, it is. And, of course, going back to the origins of how important touch is. After World War II, or even during parts of it, in Germany, there were orphanages that were understaffed, and the babies had the food, but they didn't have the touch, and that's where we came up with, there weren't enough people to help the women to hold the babies. So these children were touch deprived, and many of them died. And the term is failure to thrive. It's so sad. We've got to have touch. It's
And
essential.
Now we don't have it. You know, it's like we can't shake hands anymore. It's like, I don't know, you, but if I'm watching like a TV show and I see a crowd of people or somebody shaking a hand or hugging each other, it feels weird now. It's like our whole world has changed in that way where touch is not something that we're supposed to do. But with your significant other or your kids, you know, we still have that. And it makes it that much more important now. You know, there's something that, again, not to take for granted that you have someone to hug, you know.
It's and that's why these caressing touch exercises are important, because, you know, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, we have all these potential erogenous zones if we stay present as we're touched, mm-hmm. as we're receiving the touch. And some people get stuck between the legs. And when we have this erotic, potential erotic feast, and for instance, at first in these exercises, the focus is on the face and the head, the hands and the feet, and the very first time, breasts and genitals are to be avoided, and there's no intercourse. And I encouraged Bill and Susan, the couple I was just talking about, to focus on temperature. So they might cool or warm, pressure,
right.
hard or soft, texture, smooth or rough, as they were being touched. So this can be a way to stay focused on the touch and to feel good.
It's a sensuality thing. Yeah, it's being aware of your senses and heightening mm-hmm. those senses. And I usually have my couples, before I give them this exercise, we do a mindful eating exercise with a raisin.
Oh, that's such a good idea, yes. Talk about that.
And they love it. Yeah, because they're experiencing that raisin in such a sensual way. You know, they look at it, they feel it, they touch it, they smell it, they roll it around in their mouth, and they linger with the flavor for a while, and then they chew it till there's nothing left. I mean, it takes a good 5 minutes just to eat a raisin and to experience it so, so fully. And so I said, that's the way, you know, I want you to ideally have sex. And certainly that's what you're going to be doing when you do this exercise. And that's a fun exercise for people to do at home. Have a mindful dinner, you know, when you can cook together, be aware of everything, the way the food looks and the way it smells and the way it sounds when you're cooking it, and like really get into it. And when you eat it, like just really enjoy every single bite. We generally don't do that when we eat.
Oh, Lori, you know? That's we're stopping. The music has come.
Oh no!
Even a little early. I know.
Why so quickly?
I want to have you back because this is very important. Because fear is contagious, and we don't want to get sucked into the contagious fear and the way not to
and
do that.
And love is contagious, also, right?
Yes, love is exactly right.
Yes. And
you're wonderful, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'll put Lori's in my show notes. I'll put all your contact information. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dr.
Listening.
Diana. Thank you, listeners. Bye.